Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let's talk now with Jeremy Ben-Ami from the liberal pro-Israel lobbying group, J Street, that has now officially endorsed Chuck Hagel for defense secretary. Jeremy, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks so much, Brian. Good morning.
And in a bit, we'll get your take on last week's Israeli elections and what it might mean for Israelis and Palestinians and U.S. foreign policy. A surprising centrist surge seems to be the headline. But first, how did you come to your endorsement of Chuck Hagel for defense secretary?
Well, Chuck Hagel's actually been a tremendous force in Washington national security policy circles for quite some time. And he is a realist, a reasonable man when it comes to the questions of the role of military force in addressing political problems, when it comes to promoting the need for multilateral solutions to problems rather than going it alone. His change of heart around Iraq was something that I think really was a true signal that the policy had gone off course. So J Street's been a big fan of Chuck Hagel since the very beginning. He was the keynote speaker at our first conference, and he represents, I think, the best bipartisan tradition of American realist foreign policy.
And he was a Republican in the Senate, but then broke with President Bush on the Iraq War, putting him on President Obama's map, I imagine. And I guess they've had a dialogue ever since, and now he's being nominated as the next defense secretary. But as you know, many more conservative Jews and Jewish groups and people feeling strongly about Israel from a more conservative perspective are very suspicious of Chuck Hagel because of some of the things that he's done or said in the past. For example, in 2009, he signed a letter urging President Obama to open direct negotiations with Hamas, I read. And he made that statement that's been widely quoted. Instead of referring to AIPAC as the Israel lobby, he referred to it as the Jewish lobby and said the Jewish lobby intimidates a lot of people. Can you address each of those?
Sure. You know, on the question of using the term Jewish lobby, I know that the senator has, in most of his meetings on Capitol Hill since he was nominated, been very clear that he regrets the choice of words and, certainly doesn't mean anything by it other than to say that there is a very powerful lobby that lobbies on these issues. And it does, in fact, at times intimidate people. And I think that, you know, the essence of what he's saying has gotten lost in the term that he used, which he expressed regret for, and I believe is also a bad choice of words. On the question of talking to Hamas, I think that the point that Senator Hagel and many other people make, and I just happened to see the movie The Gatekeepers and saw six people who've directed the Israeli security service called the Shin Bet make this same point, that you have to talk to the people that you're having a fight with. If you hope to end the conflict in an agreement, then ultimately you do need to find ways to talk to the people who are the enemy, the people who you are fighting. And there is a consensus, I think, emerging in Israeli security circles that Israel is going to have to find some way of engaging with Hamas. I'm not urging that the United States do that directly, but there has to be a way for these forces to be brought into the political process.
But besides using the term Jewish lobby, his argument seems to have been that pro-Israel lobbying groups, AIPAC in particular, have outsized influence in Washington. And to some people, that recalls old canards about the Jews. In general, oh, the Jews run everything. It's the Jews control the world. You know that resonance.
Sure. You know, and I think you were just discussing gun control in an earlier segment. And, there are some very, very powerful lobbies in Washington that are extremely effective. They include the NRA. They include AIPAC. They include the AARP. And that is simply an undeniable fact that has nothing to do with age or ownership of guns or religion. It's simply a fact of how well organized certain groups are. And I think there is no denying that there are lobbies that advocate on behalf of a more conservative view when it comes to Israel that are extremely effective in this town. And I think that, you know, if we take out those canards from this conversation and have an objective conversation, what the senator was saying is not as objectionable. I think the problem with the whole discussion around Senator Hagel has been that those who disagree with him on policy have tried to intimate that their disagreement isn't one of policy, but is one that relates more to anti-Semitism or to some sort of anti-Israel view. And I think that's been a real canard and sort of taken the debate in an unhelpful direction.
My guest is Jeremy Ben-Ami from the Progressive Pro-Israel Lobbying Group, J Street. I want to play for you an anti-Hagel ad that's circulating, saying that this is a progressive's critique of Hagel. We know about the concerns that more conservative senators like Lindsey Graham have about Chuck Hagel's past statements about Israel and Iran and Hamas. But this ad comes from a group at least purporting to be from the left. Listen.
Chuck Hagel, he's been nominated to be Secretary of Defense, and President Obama nominated him with the best of intentions. But it's still a bad choice. Hagel is anti-woman, anti-choice, anti-Israel, anti-gay, and pro-assault weapon. That's just not what we voted for in November. Chuck Hagel doesn't share our values. There are other people who can do the job. Why do we need someone like this? We don't.
So there we have a group using mostly progressive arguments, bringing up his statements on Israel in the context of his opposition to abortion, his statements about gays, assault weapons. What do you know about this ad?
Well, you know, the New York Times revealed this weekend that the media firm that placed the ad is the same media firm that places ads for the right-wing groups that are attacking him from the right. And I would not be surprised if one could follow the money, which one can't because it's all, you know, it is legally secret. You know, if you could follow the money, I imagine that you would find that it is not funded by left of center or progressive funders, but actually by the same right-wing forces that are opposing him. That's all speculation. There's no way to know that. What I can say is that the senator and the nominee is going to follow the policies of the Obama administration. He is not going to change the president's policies on don't ask, don't tell repeal. He's not going to change policies related to the rights of women in the armed forces or more broadly in our society. And those are all, you know, red herrings. And I believe they are being floated primarily by those who are really attacking him from the right over foreign policy. You know, he supports a more limited projection of American military force. He supports multilateral approaches. He supports diplomacy and sanctions, not a military attack as a first option when it comes to Iran. And he supports a two-state solution over Israel. And I think that you'll find that much of the opposition comes from those who oppose the concept of peaceful resolution of the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians, particularly where it involves territorial compromise. And that's the root of a lot of the opposition, and they're masking that by putting forward these other issues as a way of trying to put a little bit of steam in people's eyes and make them lose sight of what the job he's actually nominated to do is.
One other question about his positions. On Iran acquiring a nuclear weapon, in 2008, I read Hagel said that, quote, the genie of nuclear weapons is already out of the bottle, no matter what Iran does, which seems to indicate that nuclear acquisition isn't his main concern.
Well, you know, it's also interesting to note that there's opposition from the right against Hagel because he's part of a group called Global Zero, which is dedicated to the eradication of all nuclear weapons from the face of the planet. I mean, this is a man who deeply believes in getting rid of nuclear weapons, and I can't imagine that one can have both the objection that he's in favor of completely doing away with nuclear weapons and at the same time say that he's too weak because he's willing to let Iran have one. And so he's made it very clear again this week in his meetings on the Hill, and I'm sure he will in his testimony, that he absolutely agrees with the president's view, and J Street does as well, that we do not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, that the acquisition of a nuclear weapon would be in the, you know, not in the best interests of not only Israel, but of the region and of the United States and of the world. And whatever can be done should be done. In his view, that starts with diplomacy and sanctions and includes putting yourself out there in a way that allows you to hear and talk to the Iranians about what it would take to have them put an end to that program. And that's what his position is, and he'll follow the president's lead.
Jeremy Ben-Ami with us, president of J Street, the group that considers itself a progressive pro-Israel lobby. And Ephraim in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
I appreciate your recent comment that they are describing themselves as progressive, because earlier you described themselves as progressive and pro-Israel, which I think it's a claim which should be proven over time, of course. Just to claim that you are pro-Israel does not make you such. This is probably all I have to say at this point. Thank you very much.
Ephraim, thank you. And so for some more conservative supporters of Israel listening, Ephraim obviously being one of them, what makes a progressive pro-Israel lobby?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad that Ephraim raised that, because you've mentioned liberal and progressive and said self-described a couple of times. And I actually would say to you and to all of your listeners that we don't use the word progressive or liberal when we describe ourselves, actually. We make a very deliberate point, as many who ran in the Israeli elections this week did as well, that the views that we hold are realistic and centrist and moderate. And they are, in our view, views that promote the best long-term interests of the state of Israel, and that particularly focuses on a two-state solution and ending the conflict with the Palestinian people, allowing them to have a state. That's not necessarily a liberal or progressive position, and it doesn't benefit from having it labeled as such, and we don't label it that way. That simply to us is pro-Israel. We are concerned with the long-term survival and the security of the state of Israel and its democratic and its Jewish nature. And it will only be able to be secure and survive in the long run and be both Jewish and democratic if there is a Palestinian state. And that's not a progressive position. It's not a conservative position. It's simply a realistic position that, again, is backed by those six former directors of the Shin Bet in the most recent film, The Gatekeepers, and is really the center of Israeli society.
But it's not necessarily Benjamin Netanyahu's position, whose party did not do as well as expected in the elections last week. What do you make of the election?
Well, I think that there was a interesting split in what happened in the Israeli elections. On the one hand, the right got righter. You know, within the Likud party and within this other party headed by a man named Naftali Bennett, you have 43 seats on the right of the Israeli spectrum. And the people in those 43 seats got more conservative, more hardline, more right-wing, more settlers, more opponents of a two-state solution. At the same time, the numbers in the center and to the center-left increased up to 48 in the Knesset. And there are more people in the Knesset who are pro-two states and who are against the anti-democratic legislation that was introduced last term.
So I think
you see two different trends happening.
In our last 30 seconds, does the combination of that election and maybe John Kerry becoming Secretary of State open any new windows for an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement in the coming months or years?
The window of opportunity is slim, and it's closing. I think Secretary of State-to-be John Kerry recognizes that, and I think many in Israel's new Knesset recognize that. That creates a little bit of hope and a little bit of opportunity.
Jeremy Ben-Ami, president of J Street, which, now looking at the front page of its website, describes itself as the political home for pro-Israel, pro-peace Americans. You take that one, right?
Exactly.
Thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.